Okay, Jim, come join us here at the microphones, talk about the fall tour that we're going to be taking to Israel, and then introduce Prophecy Q&A.
Thanks, Dad. You know, after my interview with Kenny Guerin this last week, we are monitoring the situation in Israel, and Kenny told us that there's no better time to go to Israel than in October. In October, we are taking our Bible prophecy study tour on October 15th through the 28th. Why don't you come and join with us? We'll look at Israel past, present, and future, what God holds in store for this nation, these people, and the city of Jerusalem. Come join with us. Again, those dates are October 15th through the 28th. You can go to our website, prophecytoday.com, and click on the Joshua Travel link, or you can call Jody at 423-821-3635. You know, every Thursday we do Prophecy Q&A, and it's one of our favorite things to do. We love when people come to us with their questions. They trust us with their questions, and we take serious the responsibility of the answers. Let's join Dad as he is doing a live session at Sacandaga Bible Conference.
Joining with me right now, the Executive Director of Sacandaga Bible Conference, Dave Spencer. Dave, how long have you been the executive director here at SAC?
This is my fifth summer.
Your fifth summer, and you're not worn down yet. You still look vibrant and everything ready to go.
So far, so good.
Let me talk to you about the history of Sacandaga. It has a long history, and it's been a powerful means of communicating the gospel and teaching the word of God over the years, hasn't it?
Sacandaga was started in 1936. This is the original building. First meetings were held right here in 1936 for 3 weeks.
Back in 1936, but it's still going for the Lord. The old tabernacle, did they used to have sawdust on the floors in here?
I'm not sure about the sawdust, but I know the walls were open. It was a pole barn building. The sides would open up so the people in the lawn could take part in the service as well.
I'm sure a lot of people eavesdropping on this conversation are having great memories about some of those great days when Bible conferences became very prevalent across the United States. Today, you have a unique program. You're working with children, you're working with young people, you're working with adults. This is a mixture of using this facility to reach people for Jesus Christ and to train them up in the things of the Lord.
Sure is. We offer a day camp program for 7 weeks in the summer, and many kids come all 7 weeks of the summer. We also do an overnight camp program, which is taking place right now. They have their own service while we're here in our service, and we have a family camp program, which is where we are here, and we also do retreats throughout the year and special events. Concerts every Saturday night here, free to the public. Banquet dinners, you name it. Lots of stuff going on during the summer here.
Well, it's a great camp. I love the relaxed atmosphere here. How would somebody, can you give us a website, how would somebody find out about the schedule and how they could come and be a part of Sacandaga Bible Conference?
If you go to SacandagaBibleConference.com, you will find all of our schedules, our events. We're also on Facebook. You can look up Sacandaga Bible Conference on Facebook as well and connect with us, and we will keep you updated, and we would love to have you here.
Did you hear that voice? Pretty good voice for radio. Has a wonderful face for radio as well. David, we are so happy to be able to be here. Thank you for allowing us the privilege. So let's just open up to the audience. David's going to take the microphone. Who has a question? Please raise your hand.
From Bright Auburn.
Bright Auburn. Oh, okay, local.
The Adirondack Baptist Church.
Uh-huh.
So I'm wondering where we're going to be during the rapture after we go to be with the Lord, before he returns.
Okay.
And we return.
As I understand your question, it's that after the rapture of the church, where will the Christian, the body of Christ, be before he returns to the earth? And there's a 7-year period of time between the rapture of the church and the return of Jesus Christ. Now, during that 7-year period of time, at the beginning of that period, at the rapture of the church, all Christians, all those who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, will be caught up to be with him in the air. That will be the rapture of the church. When we go into the heavenlies, the first thing that happens, and we go to the third heaven at that time, will be the judgment seat of Christ. Because we're going to be married to Jesus Christ once we go into the heavenlies, but we have to have a wedding garment. And the Bible tells us in chapter 19 and verse 8, of the book of Revelation, our wedding garment will be made up of our righteousness, or our righteous acts, or our righteous deeds. We don't determine what we've done as righteous. And by the way, these are works that are done after we get saved. No works involved in order to get saved. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, we're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. But verse 10 of Ephesians 2 says, created unto good works. And those works that we do while on the earth before the rapture of the church, after we become a Christian, some will be righteous and some will not be righteous. Some will be done, those works that we do for Christ, for His glory and in His power. But some works that Christians do, they will do in their power and for their glory, so they can hear the applause of man about what they have done for the Lord. Well, that's not a righteous act as far as Jesus is concerned, but what we do in His power for His glory, that's determined at the judgment seat of Christ. That will be our wedding garment, and then we go through the ceremony, having that opportunity to wear our wedding garment. We will be married to Jesus Christ, and then there's a celebration. In verse 10 of chapter 19 of the book of Revelation, verse 9, it is referred to as the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that normally in a Jewish wedding is a 7-day period of time. You might remember in John chapter 2 when Jesus came to the wedding at Cana of Galilee, He arrived on the third day with His disciples, and they had already had run out of the wine that was being served to the wedding guests. Well, Jesus was asked to do something by His mother, produce some more wine. He kind of did not get involved in that. But it was a 7-day celebration. All Jewish weddings have a 7-day celebration. We'll have a 7-year celebration in the heavenlies. Then we will mount those white horses. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 14. We'll still have our wedding garment on, and we'll come back to the earth with Jesus Christ. That happens after the rapture of the church. Now you may notice as I answer these questions, I'm like any rabbi. Ask me a simple question and I can go for 10 or 20 minutes. Who else now would have a question? The lady right here. We're good and glad to see people coming in from all across the country. Where are you from?
Laconia, New Hampshire.
Laconia, New Hampshire. Okay, and what's your question?
Well, this morning you were talking about Babylon, and having been saved in 1950, I've always been taught that it was gone completely. They used Jeremiah 50:13, where he said that it shall not be inhabited, it shall be wholly desolate. And then in 39 it says it shall be no more inhabited forever. And so we've always been taught that there's no more Babylon, the city will never be built. And then you said that there is a Babylon, and you even saw a picture of somebody, a prime minister, somebody in Babylon.
The only problem with that is Jeremiah 50 and 51 talk about the destruction of Babylon, and that it'll never be lived in again, and it'll be a judgment upon it forever. The only problem is Babylon has never been destroyed, so you're not rebuilding Babylon. And the fall of the Babylonian Empire, Daniel chapter 5, the empire fell, not the city. When you go over to the book of Ezra, chapter 7, it says that Ezra, who was the scribe, after the fall of the Babylonian Empire, when they would rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, would go and institute the temple practices again. If you look at the book of Ezra, chapter 7, you'll see in two locations, he was living in Babylon. Now that's 75 years after the fall of the Babylonian Empire. If you know anything about history, Grecian history for example, Alexander the Great came to power at 32 years of age. He controlled the entire world. He was the highest ranking political leader in the world, and the headquarters for the Grecian Empire was the city of Babylon. That's 200 years after the fall of the Babylonian Empire. When you go over to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 13, Peter never went to Rome. He didn't start a church in Rome. Instead, he went the opposite direction. From Jerusalem, Rome is to the west. From Jerusalem, Babylon is to the east. And that's where Peter went. He says in 1 Peter 5:13, all the saints from the church that I established greet you in the name of the Lord. And so we see 500 years after the fall of the Babylonian Empire, there was a city very vibrant, and it had a church the Apostle Peter had started. Now, I talked about the Prime Minister of Iraq, Prime Minister Maliki. He was born and raised in Babylon. That's his hometown. During the Gulf Crisis, you can look and see what was going on as far as the Gulf Crisis is concerned. And CNN and Fox News and all of these other news gathering organizations went into Babylon. In fact, the military, they had a 21-nation multinational peace force that was headquartered right there in Babylon. And the U.S. military used their tanks to go into ancient Babylon. They destroyed some of the original pavement in Babylon. And the United States government is now paying the Iraqi government millions of dollars to refurbish that city, Babylon. Babylon has never been destroyed. You can go on the New York Times website, newyorktimes.com, and you just Google Babylon, and you'll see a documentary where the New York Times is documenting how Babylon is not being rebuilt, it's being refurbished. They're finding, for example, the foundation for the tower that Nimrod built towards the heavenlies. They see the walls, the original walls. So Babylon has never been destroyed. Saddam Hussein, when he was the ruler of Iraq, he spent half a billion dollars refurbishing Babylon. So it's never been destroyed. Isaiah chapters 13 and 14 says it will be destroyed, along with the passage you mentioned, the book of Jeremiah chapters 50 and 51. It will be destroyed. It will never be lived in again. That hasn't happened yet. The book of Revelation chapter 18 talks about the city of Babylon. In chapter 18, it uses the word city there 6 times, uses the word Babylon 3 times, it uses the word great 8 times, the great city of Babylon. And then it says it will be destroyed in 1 hour. Chapter 18 of Revelation, verse 10, verse 17, and verse 19 says that Babylon will be destroyed in 1 hour. That's in the future, after the rapture of the church, and sometime at the end of the tribulation. In fact, the last thing that Jesus does before he comes back to earth and steps down on the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem, he destroys Babylon. So you have been hearing teaching that was incorrect. It was not biblical. Babylon has never been destroyed. It's yet to be destroyed.
Well, that's all the time that we have for this Prophecy Q&A session. Tune in on Thursday nights at 7 o'clock Eastern Time for Prophecy Q&A.